Now then, Bob Elliott and Ray Goulding present the CBS Radio Network. Poor Pierre there. The orchestra leader had a tough time getting the music off the ground today.
What happened to him, anyway? He's hasn't been up to snuff the last few days.
Smatter, did your supply of snuff come in? Or did you didn't mean that?
No, I didn't mean that. He's well supplied with that. But his music, his downbeats have been a little bit delayed. Somehow.
Well, this is another week.
And we're playing in the snow most of the
time. I have a poem here from a lady who listens to us up in Gilman, Wisconsin, Route 1.
I know the place.
Her name is, can you make that out? Is that Mrs. Leala? What is it?
No, I can't. I'm sorry.
I wish I could, but it goes, it was sent to the folks there at WCCO in Minneapolis.
Yeah.
It says, who makes with the noise that drives gloom away, the nonsense that lightens the end of day, that brings a smile to tired lips and fills the ears with jolly quips? Those zany guys on CCO, meaning WCCO, the ones who make the tiredness go. Yes, I can tell you just any day, those wonderful guys, Amos and Andy.
I have a letter here from a lady in California who says, how can you day after day dare to put on two guys?
Well, don't read those.
Oh, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have read that.
I'll read the nice ones that I read.
Well, I thought we might as well give both sides a chance there.
Well, you have something very nice to say, though.
I want to thank very sincerely the nation's radio editors for the award that we were given by TV and Radio Daily last week, a week ago today. And I want to thank them very, very much for it as the best comedy radio show of the year. Huh? Thank you for technically augmenting our audience reaction. Joe?
Yeah, that was really augmented, but that was a record. Now let's ask the audience what you think of the Critics' Award, giving Bob and Ray the best radio comedy show award. What do you think of it, audience?
Then we ought to thank Newsweek magazine for the picture and the little story this week. And I think that would take care of most of the thanks, huh?
I guess so. For now, should we have a commercial or go right into...
I think he wants to leave early, so...
All right, well, come in here. Our traveling science correspondent, the good Spencer Markle, has some news for us from the Civilian Space Agency Space House, located in Leesville, Virginia. Come in here, please. Spencer Markle.
Alongside me is Grover Galt, director of the Civilian Agency Space House, and the noises you hear in the background are the sounds of the future. Right, Mr. Galt?
Well, not exactly, Mr. Markle.
Well, you told me before we went on the air that...
Well, I frequently change my mind after a failure or two around here.
At any rate, sir, the project that's being worked on now is called Operation Split Trip. That's at least correct.
That is right. Now, we're busy assembling a space platform here in the space house.
Is that the platform over there, Mr. Galt?
No, that's the floor of the space house.
I see. Now, what's the idea behind Operation Spilt Milk, Mr. Galt?
Well, we started Operation Split Trip several weeks ago when the telescope boys discovered that there might be an atmosphere on the planet Venus after all.
Yes, I read about it.
Well, after a lot of checking around, we also discovered that Venus is quite a distance away from the planet Earth, don't you see?
Plenty far.
Yes. Well, now the idea of Operation Split Trip is to set up a space platform about halfway between the planet Earth, on which you find yourself standing, Mr. Markle.
Yes.
And the planet Venus, so the tired astronaut can stop and take a rest.
Somewhat the same idea as our own roadside inn.
What?
I mean, stopping off to eat on a long trip, it's the same thing, isn't it?
Well, yes, but this is infinitely more scientific. Gee whiz, roadside inn. Quite a bit different.
Well, if it wasn't more scientific, I suppose you could shoot a roadside inn right into space, and that would be that.
Well, we could, yeah.
And a roadside inn would burn from the friction of it all, anyway.
That's correct. So we have to build something that would be on the order of a roadside inn. And yet aerodynamically suited to the job.
Well, I think it's a good idea, Mr. Galt. I get tired and hungry on a long trip, and I always look forward to stopping off to eat and rest a little before I go on.
Well, now there's the first side of the space platform being put up over there now, Mr. Markle.
Where?
Over at the south end of the space house.
Oh, I see. That's very good, Mr. Galt. You've got the neon sign installed already. Very impressive name, too. Halfway House. Mm. I'll tell my friends about it.
Thank you, Mr. Markle.
And thank you, Mr. Galt. What I've seen here today is perhaps the start of something very absorbing, something we'll all be talking about for some time to come. And thank you for letting us come into your space house, and now back to our studio. And now it's time for The Green Pickerel, the story of Paul Chevalier, 17th century hero. As usual, France was in a state of upheaval when Chevalier, fop, charlatan, or whatever he was, heeded the call of his people.
Chevalier, I beg of you, do not make this journey. It is a fool's errand.
Freedom, Raoul Martignac, is not to be held so lightly that it should not weigh heavily on one's mind. No, Raoul Martignac, I must go to the tavern of the two intertwining roads to see what I can learn.
The tavern is filled with the minister's secret police. No place for the green pickerel. It will mean your neck. You're caught, Paul.
The guillotine holds no fears for me, Raoul Martignac. It has already been used on me several times. I must go now. Goodbye, Raoul Martignac.
Good fortune, magnificent fool.
Monsieur, you do not drink your wine. A slight indisposition, perhaps?
What name do you go by, girl of the bar?
I am the famous Marie. Everyone knows me. I will sit in your lap, no?
Marie, a lovely name. And your face, it is the face of justice. Am I not correct in this, Marie?
I do not understand, monsieur. You speak in riddles.
And it is dangerous to speak in riddles in a tavern filled with the minister's secret police, no?
Monsieur, I have much to do.
A moment, Marie. You say you have much to do. I must ask you, the much you have to do, is it in the name of the people?
I cannot say, monsieur. I do not even know who you are, and it is dangerous to speak with strangers.
I am no stranger, Marie.
Who are you, monsieur?
You have but to feel the collar of my shirt to know who I am.
Why, it's a silken shirt. Then you must be...
Quiet, Marie. We have enemies here. Yes, I am Paul Chevalier the Green Pickerel, at your service. I need information, Marie. Do we understand one another?
Perfectly, monsieur. Attention! Attention, Minister Secret Police! This fop seated here is none other than Paul Chevalier, the Green Pickerel.
Chevalier!
Pickerel, you're here, the Green Pickerel. Come on, let's get him.
You will pay for this, Marie.
Lock the exits!
Well, come on, Minister Secret Police. Take me, if you can.
Chevalier, give me what number 20 to 1. Come on.
19 to 1, my fallen friend.
Hey, those at the stairs.
Yeah, after him.
Go on and kick the first man down the stairs or he'll fall on the rest of
us. Well, you can hear.
Put on the chest. Get him. Get him before he jumps through the window. His horse waits below.
Adios.
Au revoir. Oh. Chevalier, it is I, Raoul Martignac. I was worried, so I followed. But why are you lying on the ground?
Raoul Martignac, I left my horse here when I entered the tavern. Have you seen him?
Yes, the Green Pickerel. He seemed restless, so I took him yonder to graze.
Fool.
The Green Pickerel. Fop, charlatan, or fighter for liberty.
Hey, Baldy.
Hi, Webb.
Hey, I was just going through some of the mail.
Yeah?
There's a letter I think I'd like to read, if I may have your CBS microphone, please.
It's to be letter answering day. We had a couple.
Dear sir, it says, as the outraged president of the 12,000 member, let's give Wibbly Webster a fair break club. I can no longer hold my peace, but must take pen in hand to inform you of my vast personal grief after the greatest insult to our hero, to it. The humiliation and frustration of Mr. Webster.
You're getting all red. You're getting all red-faced.
Yes, I am. In his latest attempt to complete a performance at your studio room.
All right, quiet, calm down.
For months, I have restrained an angry membership. I have returned to the poster.
No, you're getting blurred. It's getting blurred now. We can't understand it. A little slower.
Well, the point is...
The point is you're angry, and they are too, huh?
At the charge of West Fritzburg. And he's pretty upset at the way of treating me, and I would like once this week, sir. It's too late now, maybe next week, to sit down at this huge studio organ and play Ballifer. From start to finish.
Play Jealousy, I know.
They know what I'm saying, Whitebrown.
Well, it's just been unfortunate you never completed the selection. We do have about 30 seconds now, if you could play it
fast. I can't play it in 30 seconds. It'll be the same thing again, just the introduction.
Well, then maybe we'll try to work it in on Monday and you can play the whole thing. Will that make you feel happy with
just
that?
Just remember, there are 12,000 people who will march on this studio.
I only see
just
one name.
Just remember that and don't forget it if you're smart. No funny music as I leave, either.
That sounds very much like a threat, but we won't take it that
take
way.
Take it anywhere you want.
Going back to the hotel now?
Right, yes. Sir.
Okay. Well, have a good weekend.
Thank you very much.
Come in a little bit more calm on Monday, will
you? Okay, Bob.
Okay. And speaking of Monday, that's when we'll be back next, but we'll be back with a weekend suggestion in just 10 seconds. I think you have the suggestion there, don't you?
Won't you think of us this weekend and join us on Monday again? Until then, this is Ray Goulding reminding you to write if you get work.
Bob Elliott reminding you to hang by your thumbs.